Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the credit crisis when we come back. Hey, let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Because it's pretty obvious that something is wrong, terribly wrong, with the Ten Commandments, because they've been banned from our public schools, they're banned from our public institutions, and now they're banned from our national consciousness. Now, instead of these 10 simple, time-tested laws, we see the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place, and they're teaching the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in our public schools, our public institutions. We Americans have made them a part of our national psyche. Now, you know, this is a pretty radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years, don't you think? Are you aware that your daughter, for instance, could not receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent? But your daughter can have an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent. Now, that's why I contend that the solution to this kind of moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. Our founding fathers practiced and advocated the Ten Commandments, and they put 22 principles of that law into our federal constitution. And there's at least one school left in America that still teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties and the 33 benefits for their observance. Now, you know, every law has a penalty. You do not have to know what the penalty to the law is to suffer from its effect. So whether we call this the Mosaic Law, the Law of God, the Common Law, Natural Law, Karma, or something else, it's automatic. It works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which just happen to be the natural penalties for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order our free General Law CD package first. That's the place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. And remember, it's educational, informative, and entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge, and you can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Click on the email and send us an email request for that free General Law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we've been talking about this thing of the credit crisis. Now, there's an outfit called KITCO, K-I-T-C-O. So let me tune you into this one. KITCO. You can get a bunch of economic reports if you're a novice. You know, you're a housewife or a truck driver, or you're a waitress and you're working away, doing your thing in life and trying to figure out what in the hell are we going to do next and how is this going to impact upon me. And I can't afford to pay $180 a year for a high-priced, highfalutin economics newsletter, and on top of that, probably wouldn't understand it anyway. But there's another source over here that has a number of newsletters that will give you the same kind of information that we all need so that we can plan for the future. What is the Federal Reserve going to do? Well, they're going to give us more and more inflation. And how do I know that? Well, because a fellow by the name of Peru Saxena, S-A-X-E-N-A, in a KITCO bulletin dated 12-9-08, reported on a three-page report that that's exactly what he expects to happen. Now, there's a principle of law that we see in the Bible. It says, at the mouth of two witnesses, or at the mouth of three witnesses, shall the matter be established. So if you can pick up two or three or five or nine newsletters or sources of information, and if these people generally agree, or in some cases they absolutely agree, there isn't any dissent. Hell, if you were to ask Bernanke and the mainstream media, are we going to have deflation or inflation, they'd say we're going to print money until we run out of trees. Okay, that says inflation. Now go to the underground economists and say, are we going to have inflation or are we going to have deflation? And they're all in agreement. We're going to print money until we run out of trees. All right, so now that pretty well tells us that everybody's in agreement. How about government interference and influence and regulation in the marketplace? Are we going to have more of it or less of it? Everybody's in agreement. We're going to have more of it. Now, once you get it in your head, this is where we're headed, this is where we're going, we're going to have more and more inflation, then you should be preparing for inflation, not deflation. If we have some deflation, my God, that's wonderful. The price of gas went down from $4 to $2. That's great. That's wonderful. I wish the price of coffee would go down from $1 a cup to 10 cents. That would be another step in the right direction. Now, I mentioned this the other day. Now, for the coffee growers, they don't want to hear that. And for the auto manufacturers, they don't want to hear about cars going down in price. They want higher and higher prices for their cars. And then they're going to get what they want, because that's what everybody's clamoring for. That's what's politically popular. It isn't what we need. It isn't what we ought to have. It isn't what's going to solve our problems, but that's what we're going to get, like it or lump it. You want to know whether you're going to bail out the car industry or not? Absolutely. The car industry is going to be nationalized. You're going to have a socialist car companies like they have in Russia and China. It isn't going to be General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler. Those are the names that will be applied to the national car company, that's all. Will it be more efficient and profitable? No, it'll be less efficient, totally unprofitable, and subsidized and paid for by the taxpayers. And finally, in the ultimate end game play, it will all collapse around our ears. Now, if you're planning for that in advance, you know, let's take a look at, do you think there's going to be more food and cheaper prices for food, or do you think there's going to be less food and higher prices? Because if you think that there's going to be more food and lower prices, then you wouldn't want to invest in the agricultural economy. You would say, well, there's no money in that. I want to get into something that's going to be in short supply, because that's where money is made. The money is made on those things that are in short supply and the prices go up. You buy it for a dollar, you sell it for two, and you make it on the 2% principle. That's what my wife calls it, the 2%. There's a Jewish guy called up here one day, and he was talking to my wife, and he says, what's the secret of your business success? And she says, we use the 2% principle. And he said, well, I've never heard of the 2% principle. I said, can you tell me what that is? She says, well, it's very simple. I buy something for a dollar, and I sell it for two. I make it on that 2% spread. And he said, oh, my God. He said, that's a 50% profit margin. That's 100% markup. And she said, well, now there you go with all that highfalutin high finance again. She said, I just like to keep it simple. You buy it for a dollar and sell it for two, and then I just make it on that spread, and that's all I know, 2%. Now, my wife's no dummy. She can add and subtract. Hell, I even let her go to the grocery store by herself, for crying out loud. She can count real good. Doesn't even have to take off her shoes. Now, you can learn how to count real good, too. And one of the ways that we learn how to count is by taking a look at reality divorced from the hype. There's a lot of god-awful lot of hype out there, you know. You got the mainstream media, and they're hyping, you know, more bailouts and more of this and more of that and more government control and more government change and more government regulation. What that's saying is we need more socialization. All right, we're going to get more of it. You're going to have socialized medicine. Sit back and relax. And so for those of us that want to avoid socialized medicine, we're going to have to work hard to stay off the government's list and out of their clutches. It's not impossible, but it's going to make it a little more difficult, a little more interesting. Now, there's publications that come out on the Internet all the time, and the Internet is a great source of information, but it's also a great source of disinformation. I mean, there's a lot of BS that goes on out there. And how are we going to be able to put our finger on the pulse of it? Well, what I do is I use the Bible as a basic guide. And so this week I showed you that debt, usury, and paper money are the violation of three basic economic laws of the Scripture. And the creator of the universe is no dumbbell. He's a pretty smart kid, you know, pretty smart guy. And he can add and subtract, and he doesn't need to take his shoes off either. And I showed you last time, I said, here's how paper money comes into circulation, by telling you the card story. And I said, this usury over here doubles the principal. And I gave you the horseshoe story, 1, 2, 4, 8, 16. And this debt over here has to be released. And I tell my students when they come in, I said, the first thing we got to do is get you out of debt, Bob. Because as long as you're in debt, we can't make money, Bob. So I compare that with the Scripture. And if you can find the legal basis for it, and then you look for the historical precedents. Can you point to a paper currency that has succeeded in making people wealthy and rich? Name one. Let's hear it. Send me an email. I'll publish it worldwide. There aren't any. Now, there are a few rare examples throughout history where people have practiced the Ten Commandment model, practiced the Mosaic Law, and they waxed fat doing it. Great Britain did it. I reported that to you. The Australians, the New Zealanders, the Canadians, and the Americans, the Western Europeans have all practiced the Ten Commandment model at some point in their history, and they just made a ton of money in the process. There's probably even a few Gentile nations that have done that. You know, a few you Japs and Germans, and well, not Germans, but Koreans and the South Americans and so on, probably tested a little bit. And if you have, you prospered from it. Bottom line, the Ten Commandment model makes money. And the Ten Plank to the Communist Manifesto model loses money. Every time without fail. Now that's the history of it. Now you can make your own choice. I'm not here to tell you what choice to make. But that's not, I'm not selling the Ten Plank model, I'm selling the Ten Commandment model, and that's the basis of our business school. And I tell my students when they walk in the door, I say, now you're 36 months away from $100,000 worth of gold buried in a hole in the ground. That's all it's going to take is about 36 months. If you think you're going to do this in a week or 10 days, or that you're going to do this in 2 months or 2 years, I think you got your head up the wrong end. It takes about 3 years to start your business enterprise and to get it to pay off. That's what it takes me, about 36 months, about 3 years. And I reported to you last time, I've been to the top and I've been to the bottom. I bounce very well on the bottom. I'm a good bouncer. And I've gotten to the point now that I've climbed up on the top over here again. I'm going to stick with this Ten Commandment model. It's always served me well in the past. It's serving me well today. And I expect it to serve me well in the future. Now, the Ten Commandment model isn't called the Ten Commandments in the underground newsletters. They call it hard money, or they call it specie, or they call it value. They've got a number of names that they apply to it. But the basis of it is sound money, gold and silver coin, or at least wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil, or at least let's get the hell off of usury and interest. And none of these guys would advise debt. Every one of them is telling you need to get out of debt. Hell, even Brian Williams is telling you to pay off your credit card debt, for crying out loud. And he's as mainstream as you can get. I mean, he's right out of the Illuminist's playbook. All right, so the bottom line to this thing is that debt, usury, and paper money are killers. Gold and silver, debt-free, and no usury and interest are the winners. All right, now let's take a look at some guys here that are advocating this program. Kitco, K-I-T-C-O. Just go punch in that name, kitco.com, and I think you'll come up with their website, and they'll tell you some stories. Now here's a story I mean, there's a lot of them. There's probably 20 of these guys. And I'm just going to pick out one. It was published on 12-9-08 by Puru, P-U-R-U, Saxena, S-A-X-E-N-A. Now, I'll flip over here to page 3, and I'll tell you who this guy is. And without any apologies, this guy is a newsletter and an investment counselor, and he makes his living doing this. And he wants to sell you stocks and bonds, and he wants to sell you his newsletter. And I'm not here to advance his newsletter, to advance him one way or the other. Yeah, I like to read him. He's a good guy. He's got his head on straight, and he's an investor, and he's probably taking it in the shorts like all of us. You know, we're all suffering through this together. But Puru Saxena publishes Monthly Matters, a monthly economic report, which highlights extraordinary investment opportunities in all major markets. In addition to the monthly report, subscribers also receive weekly updates covering the recent market action. Money Matters is available by subscription from www.perusexana.com. And this guy, Puru Saxena, is the founder of Puru Saxena Limited, his Hong Kong-based firm which manages investment portfolios for individuals and corporate clients. He is a highly showcased investment manager and a regular guest on CNN, BBC, World, CNBC, Bloomberg, NDTV, and various radio programs. All right, so there's his credentials. Now, he's published on Kitco, which is a gold bullion company. They want to sell you gold. They want to sell you silver, and they make a profit off of it. It's called the commission. Now, I'm not advocating that you buy your gold from Kitco or that you subscribe to any of these newsletters. I recommend them. This newsletter, this update, from Puru Saxena is free. I'm going to read you some information. Doesn't cost me anything. It won't cost you anything. You can just pull it right off the Kitco website. Now, his newsletter is going to cost you money, and his professional advice is going to cost you money if you want to subscribe to it. And I'm not recommending it, and I'm not unrecommending it. I'm just neutral. You know, I know I can't subscribe to every newsletter out there either. Hell, there's probably 1,000 of them. Hell, I'd be spending $100,000 or $1 million a year subscribing to all the newsletters. I subscribe to 4 or 5, and I report on them from time to time. Now, this free one comes in here, and he's got a chart right on the front page. There's a chart here. And you're not going to find this. I watch every night. Every night I watch Brian Williams, Katie Couric, or Charlie Gibson, or the Lair News Hour. And on Friday nights, you know, I'm watching Washington Review and the McLaughlin Group and Now. And you know, I'm pretty news oriented, and I'm watching these guys and paying attention. And a lot of what they're telling us is BS. And in order to sort the BS from the truth, we got to have a standard, and I use the Bible as the standard. I use the scripture now as the standard. When I see a guy that tells me paper money is bad for you, and I look in the scripture and God tells me paper money is bad for you, I say to myself, maybe this guy's got something. And then I see another guy says paper money is good for you, and we want more of it, and it'll solve all of our problems. Then I compare that with Leviticus 19:35-36, and I say, hey, wait a minute. This guy's telling me paper money is good, and God's telling me this paper money is bad, so who do I want to believe here? All right, so now you can make your own choices. Now, my choices are, I think that the Scripture has a better basis and a better track record over the last 5,000 years than Bernanke and Paulson and Rubin and Bush and the rest of the gang. Now, that's been my observation. And this guy, Puru, now is going to have a little better track record than the average. So he starts off and he says, global financial markets are acting as though the world is about to implode. And over the past 4 months, the investment community has dumped all assets, regardless of their underlying economic fundamentals. we have seen unbelievable wealth destruction on a global scale, and trillions of dollars have evaporated and returned to monetary heaven. The rate of decline has been astonishing, to say the least, and in the past 12 months, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, called the Dow, has seen its worst one-year performance ever, with an exclamation point. In the last 12 months, the Dow Jones Industrial Average has had its worst one-year period in history. Now, can you remember back to 1929? Did you read about 1929? All right. This last 12 months of 2008 is worse than 1929 on the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Did you know that? This stock market collapse so far is worse than 1929. And that's just so far, because we haven't reached the bottom yet. Now, in 1929, we didn't reach the bottom right away either. There was that dead cat bounce, they call it, where it regained about 60% of its value and then leveled off and then went down and had a total loss of 89%. All right. Now, are we going to go through the same thing here? Well, he's got a bar graph on here. Now, here's 2007. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 40%. In 1929, it was a little over 35%. In 1937, it was about 35%. In 1916, it was a little less than 35%. In 1919, it was a little less than 35%, about 30%. All right, got that? Now, the mildest recessions that we've had were in 1956, 1906, and in 2000, where the loss was about 10%. Then, in 1909, 1901, 1981, and 1976, the loss was about 15%. In 1968, 1973, and 1946, the loss was approximately 20%. So we've got a range of losses. Now, if you'll take a look and count these up, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 between 1900 and 2007. There have been 19 economic depressions or recessions. I got that right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. No, 15. There's been 15. So let's take 107 years divided by 15. And that tells us that we have a recession or a depression once every 7 years. Over the past 100 years, about once every 7 years, we have a depression or a recession. Now, we have had two depressions in the 20th century, 1921-22, 1921-41, and now, in the 107-year period, we have a third depression coming on. Only this depression is going to be a little different than the other two. And every one of these economic reversals is a little different story than the one that precedes it. They all have one thing in common. We're all losing money in stocks, paper money, and paper assets. We're losing money. House prices decline. Not all the time, but sometimes they do. And in 1929 and in 2007, we have the worst decline, the worst two declines in our history. Now, regardless of the Armageddon fears that are prevalent today, I would argue that the slump may turn out to be a fantastic buying opportunity for the patient long-term investor. Now, we're not talking about just investing in stocks. If the stock market is a loser, that's just a dead loser. But there's a lot of other things to invest in. You know, like real estate, you know, is something to invest in. Money is made in real estate. And money is made in commodities. Money is made in gold and silver. I told you about arbitrage and making money in gold and silver. It's about 10% a year. If you just played arbitrage throughout the 20th century, starting in 1900 through today, you would have made 10% a year gain on your metals transactions. You would have made 6 metals transactions over that 107-year period from 1900 to today. You would have made 6 transactions. And on those 6 transactions, you would have traded your silver for gold, your gold for silver, your silver for gold, your gold for silver, your silver for gold, and you would have done that 6 times and netted 10%. That's a pretty good investment. And you don't have to make your living doing that. That's where you keep your savings. You know, so today I keep my savings in silver. And I'm going to trade the silver in for gold when it hits 16 to 1. And then I'll keep my savings in gold. And then when the price of the spread moves from 16 to 1 to 60 to 1, then I will trade my gold for silver again. And then when it goes from 60 to 1 down to 16 to 1, I will trade back again. And every time I make that trade, I make a profit. I make a gain. I'm not the only guy. I didn't invent that, children. George Gordon just got here in 1939. Hell, that was going on for thousands of years before I was ever born. There is a guy, I reported this to you, there's one guy that wrote a book on the subject. He's the only guy I know of. It was Franklin Sanders. And I recommend his book. Call him up and say, hey, give me that arbitrage book that Gordon's always talking about. And Sanders is on the money there. I do it, and it works for me. Sanders wrote a book and says it works for him. I'm just testifying that I've never written a book, and I'm not going to. I'm not going to sit down and write a book. There's no money in books. It's a waste of your time. I write a lot, and I teach a lot. But if you want to know where the money's at, it's in buying, selling, and trading. So I teach a business school. And I teach a business school to teach people just like you. I don't care if you're a waitress and you're working for minimum wage. If you start out in 36 months practicing the Ten Commandment business model, at the end of 36 months you should have $100,000 worth of gold buried in a hole in the ground. Truck driver, I don't care who you are. Now, if you want to practice the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto model, I think you're going to lose your shirt. I tested that, and it never made any money for me, and I lost my shirt in the end. I made initial gains. I made money at it. That's what sucked me in. It's like going into a crap table, and you put your money on the pass line and win. That's the worst thing can happen to you, is that you win. Now you believe that's the way the thing works. Don't work that way. You lose. The ultimate end game on a crap table, you're going to lose. The ultimate end game in the stock market is you lose. The ultimate end game in bonds, you lose. The ultimate end game in debt, usury, and paper, you lose. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't money to be made. Doesn't mean that there isn't wealth and prosperity out there. But you got to get the winning combination. The winning combination comes from God and the Bible and the Mosaic Law. Now that's where reality's at. And when nations practice it, they become wealthy and powerful. And when they abandon that, then they get poor in a hurry. Now this Kitco paper here is entitled End of the World by Peru Sixana. And he's very optimistic. He says, hey, there's money to be made out there. There's buying opportunities out there. I think that guy's right. I don't think the buying opportunities are in stocks. He recommends that you buy stocks and bonds, among other things, like commodities and gold and silver and other things. I wouldn't recommend the stocks and bonds and debt and paper and usury and so on. He does. It's his business. That's what he's selling. But that doesn't mean he doesn't have some good ideas. And so I throw that out for your consideration. And especially his chart here on the front. See, I didn't know that there was 15 of these depressions, and I didn't know what the percentages were. And I'm not even sure I would know where to go find out. You know, I guess if I said, hey, Dirk, go find out. But here it is. It's right here in his publication. Here's the chart at 0 to 40%, and here's the 2007 period. Now, I don't know exactly when he started, but it says here over the last 12 months, the Dow's lost 40%. So in 1 year, the Dow has lost more than it did in 1929-30. And that's 12 months from October of 1929 to October of 1930. So as a result of that, we can see, and I've mentioned that this depression has already surpassed the 1929 depression in several categories, and we're still in free fall. We haven't reached the bottom yet and aren't likely to for a couple of more years. And let me give you a reminder here at the halfway point that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the internet and radio. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives, all of which can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour An editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors or publications that we endorse will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour and editorial review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you do hear on this program, however, are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, remember our website is georgegordon.org, and our phone number is 417-273-4967. Let me give you another report here about Walmart. How big is Walmart? Whether you're in favor of Walmart, like Walmart, shop at Walmart, or hate Walmart, there's something to be said about Walmart and Sam Walton's model, because it has produced something that is a phenomenon. I mean, it is a phenomenon. How big is Walmart? Well, this should boggle your mind. May even scare you as well. At Walmart, Americans spend $36 million every hour of every day, 365 days a year. That's just here in America. We spend $36 million an hour, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 30 days a month, 365 days a year in a Walmart store. Now, that works out to $20,928 profit every minute. Did you get that? Walmart's making $21,000 a minute profit. That's not gross sales, that's profit. Now, may I suggest to President Obama that you go to Walmart and learn from them? They will teach you much more than Citigroup, AIG, and Robert Rubin combined. These people at Walmart are a proven winner. These people make money. If you want to know how to solve your economic problems, let me suggest that you go to Walmart, Mr. President. Go to Walmart. Forget Citigroup. Forget the international bankers. Those guys are all losers. They've run their companies. They've run their banks. Don't go to General Motors. Don't go to Ford and Chrysler to learn how to run the monetary system of America. Mr. President, go to Walmart. They make $21,000 a minute net. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. Walmart will sell more from January 1st through March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, than Target stores is going to sell all year. Walmart is bigger than Home Depot, Kroger, Target, Sears, Costco, and Kmart combined. Did you get that? Walmart is bigger than Home Depot, Kroger, Target, Sears, Costco, and Kmart combined. And Walmart employs 1.6 million people and is the largest private employer. And most of them can't even speak English. Got that? Walmart is the biggest private employer in the world. Walmart is the largest company in the history of the world. And Walmart now sells more food than Kroger and Safeway combined. And they only started 15 years ago. Walmart only started selling bread 15 years ago, and today they sell more than Kroger and Safeway combined. And Kroger and Safeway ain't small potatoes. Now, during this same period, 31 supermarket chains sought bankruptcy, including Winn-Dixie. Walmart now sells more food than any other store in the world. Walmart has approximately 3,900 stores in the United States, of which 1,900 of them are supercenters. Now, this is 1,000 more stores than it had just 5 years ago. Now, this year, 7.2 billion different purchasing experiences will occur at a Walmart store. Earth's population is only 6.5 billion. Walmart is going to conduct more than one transaction for every person on planet Earth. 90% of all Americans live within 15 miles of a Walmart store. I'm in that 10%. I do not live within 15 miles of a Walmart. So let Walmart bail out Wall Street. If you want a business model, if you want a proven winner, then let me suggest that we go to Walmart and learn. Now let's take a look at the Mogambo Guru. This is a guy that I really like. This is called the Mogambo. It's called the Mogambo Guru Newsletter. This is also 12908. Just got it here a couple days ago. But listen to this. He says, hell, everybody with any brains knows that if the government keeps creating more and more money and credit, then consumer prices will rise exponentially and the economy will be ruined, just like Zimbabwe today. Ed Steer of CaseyResearch.com writes, quote, I see in a Reuters story that home prices plummeted a record 17.4% in September from a year earlier, and the U.S. government was providing more free money to more banks. So what else is new? More money out of thin air. Late in 2007, it was tens of billions per week. By the end of the first quarter of 2008, it was hundreds of billions per week. And starting about a month ago, it's been $1 trillion or more per week. Boys and girls, that's important. That is god-awful important. I'm going to put a bracket around that. Remember, this is a free newsletter. It comes from a guy named Richard Doty, the Mogambo Guru, it's called. And this guy, Richard Doughty, just to give you a little information on him, Richard Doughty is the general partner and COO for Smith Consultant Group, serving the financial and medical communities. And he's the editor of the Mogambo Guru Economic Newsletter, an avocational exercise to heap disrespect on those who desperately deserve it. The Mogambo Guru is quoted frequently in Barron's, The Daily Reckoning, and other fine publications. And you can get his report, comes out once a week, believe it's on Wednesday. All right, 12/9. The 9th was on a Tuesday this week. Maybe it comes out on Tuesday. Called Richard Doughty is his name. Now notice what this guy is telling you. He says, now, in the last month, it's been $1 trillion a week or more. So naturally, I'm thinking to myself that not only have I heard all of this stuff before, but I've spent a lot of time talking about it myself, mostly mumbling under my breath to my imaginary friends and people who dare to sit next to me. So I'm not prepared when Mr. Steer asks, is hyperinflation headed our way? You know, is hyperinflation headed our way? Boys and girls, this hyperinflation in every country where it has been experienced has brought on the most god-awful misery that God has ever visited upon man in the history of the world. If you were going to ask me which would you prefer, deflation or inflation, I would say deflation. I prefer it more. It's better for me. And which do you fear most, hyperinflation, inflation, or deflation? I would say hyperinflation is right at the top of the list. That's what scares the hell out of me. Now, if you ask the average American, he would say, well, deflation scares me. What in the hell scares you about the price of gas going from $4 to $2? Why is that scary? Sounds like a hell of a good plan to me. So Mr. Mogambo here says, hey, wait a minute. We're now printing $1 trillion a week. Now, that isn't going to go on forever. But the new president coming in, you know, he's talking about new stimulus packages. Well, every one of these dollars that they create now is created right out of thin air, just like the card game I told you about last time. And it makes every dollar that you've got worth less. And so that tells you that you do not want to have dollars. You don't want to be denominated in dollars. You don't want to have your mortgages and contracts denominated in dollars. Here's what's going to happen. Let's suppose that somebody owes you money, and they owe you this money denominated in dollars. And there's a lady here the other day, she offered my wife a house. And she said, I got this house up here. I want to sell you this house. And my wife didn't make the deal with her, but the lady that's in the house right now is making payments on the house. And she has a fixed rate mortgage of about, 6%. And her payments are about $150 a month. And she's going to be making these payments for the next 9 years. So I'm going to put $150 in here times 10 years, which is 120 months. That's $18,000. It's about right. And she's going to sell this house to my wife, I think, for the $18,000 balance on it. Now, here's what the problem is. Let's suppose we go into a hyperinflationary period here, which is what I fully expect. And in this hyperinflationary period, this lady's going to continue making her $150 a month payments, working down here at the get-and-go market. But the $150 today will buy 150 loaves of hillbilly bread at 99 cents a loaf. See? But as time progresses along, and as more and more of these trillions of dollars get into the marketplace, it's going to bid the price of hillbilly bread up to $2 a loaf. So if I were to pay $18,000 for this house over the next 2 or 3 years, I would be getting paid back 9,000 loaves of bread. You follow that? I'm going to put out money today that's worth 18,000 loaves of bread, but I'm going to get back 9,000 loaves. Now, let me ask you this. Why would I want to spend $18,000 to get back $9,000? Now, I'm going to get paid the $18,000, but the purchasing power of it's going to go down. Can you see that? That's bad business. That's why we didn't make the deal. Fixed rate mortgage at 6%, that's bad business. Denominated in dollars. Now, if it was denominated in gold, that'd be a different story. Let me tell you another little story. My wife, you know, she's a pretty smart girl. She's smarter than I am. Well, I'm not quite so sure that that's true. After all, look who she married. I was smart enough to marry her, so that proves that I'm smarter than she is, because I was smart enough to marry her so that she could support me. I say that's pretty damn smart now. Call me dumb now, but... Well, anyway, my wife bought a house here not too long ago, and she denominated that house in dollars, and she bought it for no interest. Can you believe that, my wife? She bought a house, no interest. And she paid this lady $30,000 over 6 years, $5,000 a year for 6 years, so that we don't run over that 7 year, you know, that year of release that we see here in Leviticus 25 verses 1 through 9. Did you know in America, the longest mortgage you could make in 1927 was 7 years? Did you know that? We used to practice that law here in America. Then Franklin Roosevelt came in, he extended that to 10 years. Franklin Roosevelt, he taught us how to break that law in Leviticus 25, 1 through 9. Hell, now you can get a mortgage for 40 years. You can get an interest-only mortgage. Just pay interest and never own the house. Where does that kind of crazy stuff comes from? It comes from the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto. So my wife, now practicing the Ten Commandments, she bought this house for $30,000. She gave this lady $5,000 down. Now, she took $30,000 at the time. Gold at that time was selling for about $500 an ounce. So she took $500 an ounce, 60 ounces of gold, and she put it in a coffee can. She just took an old Folgers coffee can, put 60 ounces of gold in it. And this is the way my wife keeps books and records. And so every year in January, she goes up to her coffee can and she pulls out enough gold, goes in and buys enough Federal Reserve notes to pay this lady. Now, over time, this lady is losing money. She's losing purchasing power at the rate of 15% a year, 10% over the last 5 years. That's what the inflation rate's been working. That is, the dollars that she's getting paid this year buy less than the dollars that she got paid last year, which bought less than the dollars that she got paid the year before. And the dollars that she gets paid next year are going to buy less bread than the dollars that she gets paid this year. This lady is taking it in the shorts every year by inflation. And that comes from the bankers. But this lady is the proximate cause of her own injury. She denominated the transaction in dollars. That's the way people are today. They want to do business in these dollars, which are losing value every day. Now, the guy that's probably the number one writer on inflation that you get out of Kitco is this guy, the Mogambo Guru. And it's free. Doesn't cost anything. Just go to kitco.com. Or you can go to www.dailyreckoning.com. And you could do that, because he also writes for the Daily Reckoning, or they publish his newsletter. Well, Mogambo says, naturally, I'm flattered that he should ask my opinion. And I say, hell yes, we're going to have hyperinflation. If the damn government keeps creating more money and credit to feed the bubbles, first citing the example of Zimbabwe, in which I was going to use as a conversational springboard to seamlessly segue into how the whole last 4,000 years of human history has proven that gold is the only asset to own when a government is creating so much money and credit that everything else will turn to, in a word, crap. All right, so Mogambo says everything is going to turn to crap. And that the only thing that in 4,000 years of history that's preserved our wealth is gold. Well, it ain't quite so, Mogambo. Silver will also preserve your wealth, and so will food. Food will do the same thing, and we're headed for famine. Famine. Can you say famine, boys and girls? That's a shortage of food. That's where we're headed. The powers that be have instituted a number of policies that will guarantee famine in the United States of America. I predict that you Canadians are going to have food shortages. You Australians and New Zealanders and you Europeans. In fact, I think everybody in the world is going to be suffering from this famine. Now, the reason that I believe that famine is coming is because of Revelation chapter 6. The creator of the universe said he's going to do it. And then Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26. So if you'd put those three chapters together, that's Revelation 6, Deuteronomy 28, and Leviticus 26. Now there's three more chapters that you could add in there. It's Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. You got that? That's Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. Now, all six of those chapters have a reference to famine. That famine is coming at the end of the age, just before the second coming. That's important, because that's where I think we're headed right now. You know, if I had my druthers, I'd druther that's what's going to happen. And so I think that food is going to be a very good investment for the future. So I'm betting on inflation, and I'm betting on food shortages. Now, why? Because of Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe. You see, those people over there have disease and famine right now, right this minute, and they have runaway hyperinflation. And hyperinflation, every single time throughout history, without exception, has produced shortages. Shortages of everything, but primarily an important shortage of food. And then I see God himself says, yep, we're going to have famine. So as an investor, as a businessman, I'm betting on the future will be short of food. So I want to position myself into food production. So I position myself into silver because of arbitrage and 75-to-1 exchange ratio between gold and silver. Because historically, it has always gone back to 16-to-1. Never fails. The pendulum swings. It happened in 1919, 1942, 1980, and it's about to happen again. And then after I'm dead and buried, about every 30 years, it's going to happen again and again and again. As long as people want to dink around with paper money, that's what's going to happen. All right, so let's position ourselves. And here's Mogambo. He says, hey, I think this paper money is going to turn to crap. Then I find to my chagrin, he says, that he is not asking my opinion at all and was merely being rhetorical as a way of introducing the fact that John Williams over at shadowstats.com. Now, if you want to have a good source for statistical information, if you will go to shadowstats, spelled shadowstats.com. He thinks so, which made me realize that I could recover from my embarrassment and again seize control of the conversation by saying, me too. I expect hyperinflation too. Hell, everybody with any brains knows that if the government keeps creating more and more money and credit, then consumer prices will rise exponentially. And the economy will be ruined, just like Zimbabwe today, and just like every other example in all of history, where a stupid bunch of governmental dirtbags created too much money. I'm going to put a bracket around that. And then I'm going to underline, where a stupid bunch of governmental dirtbags created too much money. Okay, now that's what we've been learning here this week. Now, where is the villain? The villain is the Federal Reserve. But the Federal Reserve creating all of this money and all of this credit out here it has to be borrowed into existence. So you and I have to go down to the bank and borrow the money. So you and I become the proximate cause of our own injury. We're the guys that are doing this to ourselves. Put another way, if the Federal Reserve and the banks offered you all this money and you said, no, hell no, I won't go, they couldn't inflate the economy. If all of us out here in the marketplace said, no, I will not take Federal Reserve notes, credit cards, and checks for my labor and for my goods and services, I demand that you pay me in gold and silver coin, like we do here at the law school. Pay me. We wouldn't have any inflation. Remember that golden age we talked about? From 1865 to 1910, we had no inflation and living standards increased by 4.5% a year. That's the Ten Commandment model, boys and girls. That's the model that produces wealth and prosperity without inflation. All right, now is that what we're going to have? No. No, we're going to have poverty. We're going to have inflation, hyperinflation, food shortages, riots in the streets. Now let's position ourselves to profit from it. Let's get into food. Let's get into gold and silver. Let's get into commodities. Let's get into the nuts and bolts and the things that people are going to need. You know, and one of the good things that people are going to need is your labor. They're going to need your labor putting a roof on their house. Who's going to pay for all of this? Well, remember this. 75% of the people in the Great Depression in the 1930s were working. The unemployment rate was 25%. We're going to sell our services to the 75% that are working. In Argentina in 2002, the unemployment rate hit 62%. That's the bad news. The good news is 38% of the people were working. Boys and girls, there's always people out there that are working and have money. And those are the people we're going to sell to. All right, now let me give you a couple of notations here again. Remember the money changer? And if you'll go to the-moneychanger.com, that's a good one. Kitco. Can you remember KITCO? Kitco.com. Shadowstats.com. And then, of course, you got the Law Hour and Editorial Review. That's georgegordon.com. It's an easy one, georgegordon.com. And you can get on our website, and we teach a business school. And this is the kind of business school that we run. We run ours right off the Ten Commandments. If you're opposed to the Ten Commandments, you do not want to come to this law school. You are going to be bitterly disappointed. And I wouldn't want to take your money under false pretenses. If you're happy with the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, you just stick with it. Now, if you're getting to the point where you're getting to be a little dissatisfied with the government and the government bailouts and with inflation, and you're looking for something a little new, something a little, you know, off the wall, out of context, it's the Gordon Law School, georgegordon.org. Why don't you take a look at our website and ask for that free CD package. Would you? Free. Doesn't cost anything. This isn't for everybody. I don't pretend that everybody in the world should go through our business school. This business school isn't for everybody, but it might be for you. And you can go to our webpage, and that's georgegordon.org. Now you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, just go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives, all of which can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Our time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.